U.S. climate envoy John Kerry emerged today after 3 days of talks with his counterpart in China. He says discussions were constructive, but the world's two biggest greenhouse gas polluters had difficulty creating a plan to reduce carbon emissions. The talks resumed after months of political and military tensions between the U.S. and China. Justin Worland covers climate change for Time. Hi, Justin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Big picture, China emits about 30% of the world's greenhouse gases. The U.S. 14% or so. They have agreed to reductions in past summits. So what is Kerry hoping to get out of these talks from China?
Well, I think the big thing is there was just a resumption in conversation and talks and good sentiment between the two parties, the two biggest carbon emitters. We've seen in the past that when the U.S. and China work together, when they can join each other on stage, when they put out joint statements, it really catalyzes the rest of the world and gives the rest of the world confidence that the two biggest emitters are working on this, and therefore they should too. So I think the big thing, I don't think anyone expected him to go there and get a sort of landmark agreement, but just to be able to show that they're willing to work together and will continue to do so into the coming months ahead of the next climate summit in Dubai in November.
China is a mixed bag on this, way ahead on the production of renewable energy like solar and wind, but also greenlighting 2 coal-fired power plants per week. Where does China stand on reaching its climate goals?
So China is a very interesting country, as you said. They have this goal of getting net zero emissions by 2060, which is 10 years later than the U.S. and many other developed countries. And, you know, I think that that goal was set with a sort of very reasoned timeline, in their view, of being able to continue to add coal for the next few years and then eventually unwinding it by 2060. So what they would say is that they're perfectly aligned with their goals. The question is, are their goals strong enough? And I think that's one of the big points that the U.S. has made, that other developed countries have made, that in fact, if we are going to make our climate targets, our big picture climate targets, China needs to move a lot faster, and that building new coal-fired power plants right now is not compatible with that.
And I assume that's going to be, that sense of urgency is what's going to be a big topic of discussion during the next big round of climate talks in Dubai in November. What are the expectations for that summit?
Absolutely. That's a key topic that's been ongoing for the last few years, and hopefully we'll get additional clarity there. But the big topic, there's a few. One is there's what they call a global stocktake, which is an opportunity to really peel under the hood and look at what each country is doing. Are they living up to their commitments? And if not, what are their shortfalls and how do they sort of assess that as a global community? And so, for a country like China, this is a time when we're going to see, how is China doing on those commitments? There's going to be continued discussion around how to finance all of this, particularly how to finance the transition in developing countries. And this is a big sticking point between the U.S. and China. The U.S., as a historic emitter, is thought to owe the developing countries a lot of this finance, a lot of the money to make this happen. That was agreed upon and has been agreed upon for decades. The question is, how much does China owe? China is now the world's largest emitter. It wasn't when all of these conversations around climate began in the 90s, and China maintains essentially that they don't really have much responsibility. So that's a big sticking point that will be discussed in Dubai. I guess the final thing I would just raise, and we sort of alluded to earlier, is just this question of, can 1.5 stay alive? And this is 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming. Can we keep that target alive? And I think that's another sticking point between the U.S. and China. China likes to talk about 2 degrees Celsius rather than 1.5. The U.S. is trying to talk about 1.5. That's a significant difference. It sounds like a little, 0.5 degrees, but we're almost at, 1.2 degrees of warming right now, and we can see what the effects are. The difference between 1.5, 2 degrees, pretty substantial.
And to the rest of us who are going through, as you said, extreme weather, heat and floods, all of this seems like a lot of talk without enough urgency.
Absolutely. I mean, it's if you've been following this, I've been following these discussions for a decade, and it's quite amazing to see that a lot of the discussions that are happening, is particularly at the international stage, are really the same thing over and over again. And so, we see Kerry in China And you know, I think it's an important signal that they're working together. But at the same time, the debates that they're having are really debates that have been going on for a long time with no resolution. And so having said that, there have been big advances, the Inflation Reduction Act. Europe is moving. China is developing and deploying renewables really quickly. But it is nowhere near as urgent as it needs to be.
Justin Warland, Time senior correspondent covering climate change. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.